was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known."
Please take a seat and let me say hello and happy Christmas. My name's Kev. I'm the minister of the church. So, so pleased that you've joined us this evening, that despite COVID playing its best Grinch part again, that we're able to be like this to celebrate. No one has ever seen God, we just read. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. I love the letters to Santa that appear in the press at this time of year. You know, they're all very cute. Small children have written them in their own hand, and they're quite nice to read. In theory, they're quite cute to read, but some of them don't mince their words. So one child, the practical child, wrote, "Dear Santa, if you're bringing presents that take batteries, bring batteries." Then there's the child that gets straight to the point, "Dear Santa, I love you, but what I want for Christmas this year is $5.3 billion. And one more, "Dear Santa, there are the three little boys in our house. There's Jeffrey, David, and Norman. Jeffrey's good some of the time. David is good some of the time. Norman is good all of the time. P.S. I am Norman." And it's all a bundle of fun, isn't it, the Santa thing? But is he for real, we ask, as we grow older? And let's be honest, it's worth asking about the whole festive package. So this nativity we've been singing and reading about, all part of the tingle, but is it true? One person who asked that was the poet Sir John Betjeman, and he's a local hero, actually. That's the statue of him at St. Pancras Station. He was a great campaigner to have that beautiful frontage at St. Pancras preserved. And he wrote a poem called Christmas. "Girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say come." And is it true? This most tremendous tale of all, a baby in an ox's stall, is it true? It's a great question. Though we might say to Sir John, we're a different generation, postmodern, post-truth. Does it actually matter whether anything we've read or sung this evening, or any of the God stuff, is factually, actually true? That final reading was from John's Gospel. I always think it stands out among the carol service readings, doesn't it? It's a bit more philosophical. It's about Christmas, the Word, Jesus, becomes flesh. But the Apostle John's reading really gets under the skin of what it all means. And he's very interested in truth. See, Sir John Betjeman's angst as he wrestles with the reality or not of Christmas is actually the problem of all human beings when it comes to our big spiritual questions. It's the problem flagged up in sentence 18. Did you see it in that very last sentence of our reading? No one has ever seen God. Have you seen the real Santa? Do you remember that phase when you were starting to suspect something. You've been clever enough to notice that different shops, the Santas vary in their belly size, their approach to beard hygiene, their regional accents are different. Oh, but none of them is the real Santa, you get told. Did you get fed that line? Well, it worked for me. That strung me along till I was about 28, actually. Have you seen the real God? You've seen churches, seen different expressions of religion. Maybe you've even had a spiritual experience. But have you seen God face to face? These are some pictures drawn as part of a collection called Kids Draw God. That's the classic picture, isn't it? That's the Santa version of God. He's got big ears so that he can hear us all. That's God at his cloud desk. And then this next one is my favorite. God lives inside every living thing. So my doctor has seen God when he cuts people open. And there in the middle of that person is obviously God inside someone. It makes logical sense, doesn't it? But the kid's problem is John Betjeman's problem, is the universal human problem. No one has ever seen God. And that means that a seven-year-old's guess about him is ultimately as good as the scholars or the gurus or the scientists, because none of them have ever seen God either through their mysticism or microscopes or in the big brains. Again, though, postmodern, post-truth, who cares? Well, have you noticed the way that we can't seem to stop asking big questions? COVID has instinctively had so many of us asking in a Godward direction, why? How long? Other concerns. Have you heard of purpose anxiety? That's what they call it when we worry about the meaning of life, about my meaning and purpose. In one recent survey, a whopping 91% reported experiencing purpose anxiety at some point. I met a really nice guy called Lee last week. He's a friend of a friend. They came to have a look around the church, actually, on the way to their work Christmas do. Lee's question, kind of tongue-in-cheek as he walked in here, was, am I going to get struck down? Because he hadn't been to church for a while. I told him I thought that was an interesting comment, because I meet a lot of people who presume that if God does exist, he'd be pleased to see them. Does God smile down at you? Are your dead loved ones really in a better place? How do you know? See, we may be post-truth, but we've not grown out of having big, serious questions. If there are real serious answers out there, wouldn't you want them? Well, the second half of sentence 18 says we can do so much better than guesswork or believe whatever feels true for you. Here's a way of summing up Christmas. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. Now, notice there are two people there. So there's God the Father, who no one's ever seen. And then there's this other character called the only God who's at the Father's side. And we know that that second character is Jesus, because the previous sentence, and actually this whole reading is about Jesus Christ, the Word, Jesus was God. And that is to say that Jesus' main advantage over the rest of us, when it comes to the ultimate questions, is not simply that he has seen God, or even that he's close friends with God. Jesus' advantage is that he actually is God. Not just a baby, as the video said. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead, see. I know some of you normally come here on a Tuesday night for what we call midweek. When we open up the Bible in our small groups. Some of you have been opening up John's Gospel this year. Let's not get blasé about that. Because in this world of so much confusion and lies and fog, what could be more precious than face-to-face with God in here, having the truth made known on all these important things? Imagine we couldn't know. Making known is actually precisely the purpose of this divine visitation. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. This is a Banksy. You may know Banksy. He's a graffiti artist. He's a national treasure. Even though we don't know who he is, he secretly produces these awesome works of street art, sometimes on the side of houses, and apparently adds value to a house. Some people have been known to market their sale as, we're selling a Banksy, and there's a house thrown in as part of the price. But the artist chooses to remain hidden from us. And can't it feel sometimes that God is a bit like that? So we may see his fingerprints in the world, but is it that he's not good with people? Maybe he prefers social distance. Perhaps he's even enjoying making it hard for us to find him. Well, Christmas says that exactly the opposite of that is true. See, sentence one in this reading calls Jesus the Word repeatedly. This is a God who wants to speak to you. In verses 4 and 5, he is the light. This is a God who hates us fumbling around in the dark for answers. Actually, here in John's Gospel, this is a John's Gospel that I'm holding up here. Jesus specifically addresses, among other things, suffering, the purpose of life, and life after death. This is a God who wants to enlighten you. Sentence 14 and 17, he's full of grace and truth. It says, post-truth, none of us really live that way, do we? So there are indisputable facts about the virus. Lies and cover-ups get exposed as part of our justice system. We want that. Of course we're not post-truth. This is a God born to share truth with you. The challenge is, will we give him a hearing? Lee Mack, the comedian on the right there, that's him on the sitcom. It'll be on at Christmas. I don't know if you've seen it. It's basically a sitcom about people my age and why we're all so boring. He was interviewed once on a radio show where they ask celebrities, if you knew you were going to be stuck on a desert island, what would you take to read and what music would you take to listen to? And they always say to them, you don't need to take a Bible because it comes as part of the deal that there's going to be a Bible on the desert island. Lee Mack. I'm glad we get the Bible. I would read the Bible. I think it's quite odd that people like myself in their 40s happily dismissed the Bible but never read it. I always think if an alien came down and said, what's life about? And you said, well, there's a book here that purports to tell you everything. Wow, what's it like? And you go, I don't know, I've never read it. It'd be an odd thing, wouldn't it? So, at the very least, read it. Makes sense, doesn't it? This John's Gospel has been put together as evidence. Notice the language of witness. We have seen John bore witness. Now, you and I in the 21st century obviously weren't there. But that's just the same as we weren't there at the scene of most of the important events we believe about the world and history. We spend our lives evaluating evidence and claims. Here in chapter 1 is the big claim. The rest of John's Gospel was written as evidence for you, that you might know the truth. So, at the very least, read it. You know, my own experience is that Jesus' words make more sense of life and me and the universe than anyone else's words. Be warned, you are likely to be humbled by a conversation with your Maker. And I really beg you to be courageous and not step away from the conversation when Jesus becomes challenging, which he does. And I say that because of what he's offering. See, Jesus doesn't come for saying Merry Christmas, have a sack full of knowledge. Making God known means lighting up the path to relationship with God, to eternal life with God, to no condemnation from God. COVID has been our great humbler, hasn't it? It's shown us we're not in control, and also how much we don't know, and don't we long to know? Well, what a relief that on these really big questions of suffering and purpose and death and God, Jesus' arrival means that all the anxious speculation can be over. If only, will you give him a hearing? Happy Christmas. No one's ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, has made him known.